Good afternoon, and we welcome you to our Sunday sermon today. We're going to start by reading from God's Word, and then we're going to pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Amen. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. There are several people who need a healing touch. We're going to believe and stand upon God's word. Amen. Father, Lord, we ask you right now, Jesus, hallelujah, to send your word into everyone's room, Lord God, that needs a touch for healing, for depression, for fear, for anxiety. Lord, your word is above every other sickness, everything that can be named. We thank you, Lord God, right now in advance for healing and for deliverance. Lord, we ask you to fill this atmosphere, fill every home, Lord God, with your word. Let your word edify, let it bless, let it encourage. We thank you right now, Jesus, hallelujah, for what you have got prepared. Give me utterance to give a deliverance today, Lord God, through this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I struggled to come up with the right title for this because it doesn't fit the normal design of a message. But the title I've come up with is The Jesus Defense. You know, we are in a war, and that war is real, a spiritual war. As you can tell from all the things that are going on in the world, there is depression and fear and anxiety everywhere. As I taught on Tuesday night about perilous times, that they are not in the future anymore, they are here. Doubt is rampant. Fear is everywhere because we see people dying through this COVID. You know, it looked as if it was going away and then it came back. But you know, the thing that we have to remember, that we're not fighting people. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." This war is real. And sometimes we need to remember that we are not just drifting through life, that we should be aware that we are on the battlefield, and that we have been given weapons and armor that we can use to deal with the devil. And today I wanted to encourage you and give you some insight into something that Jesus did, because he is our prime example of how to deal with Satan. Amen. You know, and so I call this message The Jesus Defense, and it is in three parts. The Bible says in Revelation 3:10 that there is an hour of temptation that is to come upon the world. In Revelation 3:10 it says to the Philadelphian church, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." And of course, we're given an example of this, of how we can deal with Satan directly by Jesus. We see that just after he had been baptized by John the Baptist, he went into the wilderness and fasted and prayed for 40 days. And the Bible says that after he finished that, he was hungry, he was thirsty, he was lonely. You see, it's when we are struggling is when Satan will come to really try and take us down. It's when we are depressed, when we are struggling with the cares of life, with situations of sickness or healing or family, that's when he will come to try and take us down. But we have in Jesus an example of how to deal with him. Now, in the world of chess, there are certain set plays, just like in football, that are run in response to certain attacks. And the very famous chess masters that came up with them, the defense or the set plays are named after them. So today I just want to give you a defense by the greatest warrior that there is, which is Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to call this the Jesus defense, because this is not a game of chess, but we're in spiritual warfare. But the good thing is that we have a master who has been undefeated. No one has ever beaten him. And he has laid out a plan that if we follow it, we will be successful. In this example in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is coming back out of the desert and Satan comes to tempt him. And so I'm going to outline to you what I see is a three-part defense of the Jesus plan. Satan will come to test your sonship in so many ways. Satan has come to test your sonship. As I said, in the game of chess, they have certain set defenses to deal with certain attacks. Today, as I said, we're not playing chess. We're fighting for our souls. But we have an unbeaten world champion that has never lost and has given us, as I said, an unbeatable defense. We're going to look today at the Jesus defense. In Luke chapter 1, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Now, I know that that seems so simple and so you've heard it all before. But the first key to defense, the first part of the Jesus defense is simply the word of God. We're going to need that written word. We're going to need that rhema utterance. We're going to need the incarnated word. We're going to need all parts of the word if we're going to get through what's to come. We're not going to make it if we don't turn to the word in all its forms. It's going to take the word to get us through these times of doubt and of fear so that our faith remains strong. See, the written word encourages us. Psalms 119 verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The spoken word activates through us. In Mark 9:25, when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, he used the spoken word, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch as many said, he is dead. See, we need both the written word to encourage us and allow the spoken word that activates through us. And then lastly, we need the incarnate word, which is Jesus Christ himself, to lift us up. Psalms 3 verse 3 says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." See, the first part of the Jesus defense, when we're down, when we're depressed, when we're hurting, when we're sorrowful, when we're fearful, is the word in all its forms. The written word, the spoken word, the incarnate word. We need all forms of the word to get to deal with what Satan is going to be throwing at us. Because these are the last days. These are perilous times. In Luke chapter 4, verse 5, the story continues. It says, "And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." You see, the devil, when we're in trouble, will show us deceitful ways out of our situation. He'll show us little ways to tempt us when we're weak, when we're vulnerable. Temporary pleasures, distractions that our flesh craves to get away from our present situations. See, when people are depressed and discouraged, they look for other things to take away those thoughts from their mind. They get into drugs, they get into addictions, sexual temptations. These are all a form of worship of the flesh. You see, he wanted Jesus to worship him. In other words, we need this second defense against worshiping the flesh. The devil will show us all kinds of ways out of our situation, but all of them come as a temporary band-aid and not a permanent fix. That's what drugs do. They never actually fix the situation. They just temporarily dull the pain. Addictions and pleasure in the world, in sexual temptations. These are all a form of worship of the flesh. That's what he came to Jesus to say. Listen, why don't you worship me? But Jesus answered and said, it is written, thou shalt worship only God. Do you understand that the second weapon or second defense that we have is worship? We have the first defense is the word, but the second defense that Jesus has given us and the example is just worship. Even when we don't feel like it, even when we see no cause to worship, even when we're in pain, just start thanking Jesus, thanking him and worshiping him, lifting up his name, because this is the second part of the Jesus defense. This is such a powerful weapon against Satan and his devices. He wants us to worship the flesh, but if we will sacrifice, even in our pain, even in our sickness, even in our anxiety, even in our fear, and just start to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, that is the key. Luke chapter 4, verse 8, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. This great example of dealing with this second defense we can find in Acts when Paul and Silas were thrown into prison, facing maybe execution in the morning. What were they doing at midnight in the darkest part of the prison where there was no light, where they had been whipped, where they had been beaten, where they were in shackles? Acts 16, verse 25, and at midnight, and if this world is anywhere, it's at midnight right now. This is when we now should be worshiping. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Worship and praise. That's the second part of the Jesus defense. First, we turn to the word in its written form. Then we turn to the word in its spoken form. Then we turn to the living word in the incarnate form. And when we've done that, when we have prayed, when we have sought God, then we can start to worship, because that's what will take Satan down. That's what will send him packing. Jesus said, get thee behind me. Get thee behind me. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You see, worship takes faith, especially when you're down, especially when there looks like there is no reason to worship. Paul and Silas were facing maybe more beatings, maybe execution, but at midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I'm telling you that Satan needs to hear us worship. He needs to hear us sing. He needs to hear us say, thank you, Jesus, anyhow. No matter what I'm going through, no matter the things that are happening in the world that look so scary, because we are at midnight in this world system. I am telling you, we're at midnight. But at midnight, their worship freed prisoners. Your worship will free others. Your worship will heal others. Your worship will touch others. There was suddenly a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. See, worship is the second part of the Jesus defense. Now, the third part of the Jesus defense is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be something that we didn't maybe realize or understand, and it is the weak part of our Christian walk that we sometimes don't realize that we are doing. In Luke 4, verse 9, the story continues. It says, Satan brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. See, Satan, again, will always try and give us a picture of his painting, of his sculpting, to put us in a situation where we do what he wants us to do. But Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Now, from verse 9 to verse 13, there is something going on here that maybe people miss. But Jesus said something to the devil right here. He said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, what was it that Satan wanted him to do? He wanted him to jump. He wanted him to commit, in other words, a presumptuous sin. You see, when we dare God to save us, after we are reckless, we are taking a presumptuous sin. See, we understand the word. We all understand worship. But this third defense is the secret that many of us miss. Many times when we are in trouble, when we are depressed, when we are struggling, we demand of God a miracle. We want him to just make it all go away. We want the easy way out. Instead of understanding that, in fact, God actually owes us nothing. Instead of coming to him in humility, we make the mistake of daring him to just fix everything. It's okay, Satan says. Just jump off the cliff. He has promised that his angels will save you. Now, don't be confused. There is nothing wrong in asking for a miracle. If, and here is the big difference, if you have done all you're supposed to do. That is the difference. There's nothing wrong with asking for a miracle, but only when you have done what God has already asked you to do. Otherwise, you're being presumptuous. And what you know to do, in nearly every circumstance of a miracle in the Bible, of deliverance, of healing, there was something that the person had to do themselves. In the case of the widow woman with Elijah, she had to go bake a cake to get her miracle. In the case of the woman with the debts in the parable, she had to go and get all the vessels to get the oil filled. In the case of Moses getting the water out the rock, he had to strike the rock. Now, God could have done all of those things without anyone taking a single action. But there is always some part for us to play. And when we just want God to do it, we're being presumptuous. You see, that is the difference. God will grant you a miracle when you have done what you are supposed to do. The third part of the defense is really actions on our part to make sure, as I taught, that when we have done all to stand, then we can stand. Ephesians 6:13 says, Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that he may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all. And that's the key. Some of us, we want God to deliver us, and we haven't obeyed. We have not put on the armor. We have not prayed. We have not sought his face. We have not humbled ourselves. We're being presumptuous. We're falling into that third part. You need all of the three parts of the Jesus defense if you're going to get out of the situation. People want God to protect them, deliver them, when they have not done all that they need to stand. It's when you're in trouble that Satan will tell you to jump. Just jump. You don't have to pray. God will be merciful. Only if you have done all, if you have obeyed, if you have put on the armor, then you can ask for your miracle. See, Jesus was hungry and tired and lonely, but he resisted as an example. You're not going to get your miracle till you have done all to stand. As I said, nearly every miracle of deliverance, in the Bible required the person getting the miracle to do something. In the multiplication of the five loaves and two fishes, what did they have to do? The people had to sit. The disciples had to distribute it. The miracle happened in the distribution. In the healing of the 10 lepers, they had to go show themselves to the priest. But some of us just want to jump. We don't want to do anything. We want God to do it all. But the third part of the defense is upon us. We have to stand. we have to resist Satan's easy out. See, we are going to go through some things. It's not that we're not going to go through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death, but the Bible says, thy rod and thy staff. He is going to be there. It doesn't mean we're not going to go through trials and tribulations. There is not the easy way out, but there is an easy way out if we trust in him, if we rest upon his promises, if we have done our part, if we have struck the rock, if we have baked the cake, if we have gone and get the vessels, when we have done all that we have to do, then we allow God's miracle power to start to act in our life. You see, Jesus gave us the example of the Jesus defense. It's the word, it's worship, and then it's doing what we're supposed to do. Not letting Satan try to tempt God through us by daring God to do things. See, Jesus told him, Satan, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. They were trying to get Jesus to do something to tempt God. Sometimes as Christians, we just jump off the cliff and expect God to save us. He has to. God does not have to do anything. It's on us to be obedient. It's on us to fulfill his word. Then we can stand upon his word when we have done all. And then we can ask for our miracle. The Jesus defense is 100% guaranteed. If you will follow that play, you will never lose a battle. But most of us slip up at this third defense. We haven't put on all the armor, but we want Jesus to do the miracle. Yes, we may have quoted the word. We may have worshiped, but we've slipped up with testing God. Lord, we just want you to get us out of this. You know, it's like, I know that salt is bad for me, and I have hypertension and blood pressure, and I want God to heal me, and as soon as he heals me, I go back to eating all the salt. See, that is being presumptuous. See, we have to do our part for God to do his part. And when we do that, then this playbook will never lose. This defense has never lost. Jesus showed us how we can defeat Satan through the word, through worship, and through humility, and obeying what God has called us to do. When God tells us to do something, and we do it, we can never lose. It's the defense that will never lose. See, word, worship, and then having done all to stand gives us the victory. Now, this is a short message, but there is a powerful story in what Jesus did in Luke to show us how to defeat Satan. The Bible said that when he was finished, he left him for a season. Yes, Satan will have to go away and come back with a B plan. But you know, the trouble with him, he has no imagination. He's just going to come back with the same thing. But if you are ready to get into your word, if you are ready to worship, if you are ready to give God the praise, if you are ready to humble ourselves and do all that we can do, then we can ask God to do a miracle, to open doors, to open blinded eyes, to heal, to deliver, to fix relationships, because that is what he will do when we have obeyed him. He said, ask, if my word abide in you and I abide in you, then you can ask. Today we sometimes want to ask before we have done what we can do. And as Ephesians 6:13 says, having done all to stand, then we can stand. I believe that we are far from hopeless, far from helpless. We have the power of God's word. We have the power of worship. And we have the power, really, of obedience. Because when we have all of those three defenses going, there is nothing that Satan is going to do that will win. Hallelujah. Wherever you are today, as I close this message, I want to encourage you that no matter what's going on in the world, look up, because our redemption draweth nigh. Through these three things, Jesus was able to send Satan packing. He was able to make him go away and lick his tail. He had nothing in Jesus that he could do. He tried everything to test his sonship. And that's what Satan will do. But we have a defense, which is the word. It is written. It is our worship, which we give to God only, and it's through obedience to not try and test God, but to make sure that we have done all that we can do. We're going to close this service today. I know it wasn't long, but the word does not have to be long to find a place of edification. If you will plant this seed, if you will meditate on these three defenses that Jesus showed us, you will be successful every time to destroy the plan of the enemy. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray a closing prayer. We are planning to have service next week, and I'm going to believe that God is going to allow us, as it is our 12th anniversary, and we're looking forward to that. But wherever you are right now, let us pledge, just as Jesus did, that when Satan comes to test our sonship, we're going to be ready with the word, with our worship, and with obedience to not try and test God, but to be able to stand upon his promises, and having done all, to stand. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you today, Lord, for your word. Let it edify. Let it find a place, hallelujah, of good soil, that we will put this defense that you have shown us into action, Lord, that you will use us, hallelujah, as your weapon, oh God, that we will humble ourselves, Lord God, before your throne. If there is any under the sound of my voice, Lord God, that is depressed right now, let this word encourage. Let it find good soil. Let it lift up, hallelujah, Lord, because your love covers, Lord Jesus. You would that none be lost. Help us to turn to you, oh God, in humility and to cry out, just as blind Bartimaeus, that you will have mercy upon us, that you are ready to forgive us, that your grace is sufficient. Lord, we thank you today, hallelujah, for a healing touch, for deliverance, hallelujah. Oh God, help us to be your witnesses as your coming draws near, Lord God. Use us, empower us. Oh, hallelujah. Let that word work through us, oh God, against the enemy. We thank you right now. We claim the victory over the devil and his devices in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, God, for all that you have done and for your blessing.